Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. My guest today is pianist B.G. Adair. She possesses impeccable technique, a vast repertoire, and a deep understanding of jazz. Add to that an innate ability to swing, and you have the complete musician. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And thanks for those kind words.
You've got so much stuff going on. What's new? What's the newest thing?
Well, my head has been spinning because I've been working on several projects. I've just gone back to my original record label, Green Hill Music, and I have a couple of new projects out. I have a Fred Astaire collection called Dancing in the Dark, and it basically is my trio and me playing the songs that Fred Astaire danced and sang to in the movie. So it's Jerome Kern and it's Cole Porter and Irving Berlin and all those people who wrote for Fred Astaire. And it's all things that everybody knows. But I guess my newest project is the Parisian Café project. And I've been wanting to work with this wonderful violinist named David Davidson. He's a concertmaster on all the orchestra things that I do. Back in Tennessee, but we've been wanting to do a project together, so we put together an album of Parisian cafe songs, a lot of songs that started out as French tunes and became American hits, like Autumn Leaves and Beyond the Sea and things like that. But we put in some very old French melodies as well, and in addition to the trio and David and me, we also had a wonderful accordionist, Jeff Taylor, who just... he wore a red beret every day to the studio to get in the mood, and he really made it sound like we were all sitting in a cafe listening to wonderful Parisian dance music.
I see a tune coming on, or I hear a tune.
Yes, I do
on.
Too. This is a tune I learned from Helen Merrill.
Really?
And I was delighted to find that it started out its life as a French melody, which fit right into this project. It's called If You Go.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's such a beautiful tune.
Isn't it? And I learned it from Helen's recording many years ago, but I didn't find out that it was originally a French melody until we started working on the Parisian project. And I was delighted to find that so we could add it to the group.
Yeah, If You Go.
Mm-hmm. It's very sad. It's very European, very dramatic lyric.
Yeah.
But the melody is it's just lovely, I think. It's very old world, kind of.
And sort of sad.
Yeah. And with David playing the violin on the Parisian project, it's just very poignant, as you can imagine.
Yeah. And it all fits,
yeah,
right
together.
In. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Yeah, we had fun with that.
I'm sure you did.
It's the first tune of the day. I always feel like you should throw it back like a waffle and start again. You know how when you... I spent yesterday on an airplane and in getting into the hotel and everything, and I haven't seen a piano for a couple of days. And so today, that's the first waffle.
Well,
so I'll warm up as I go. But it's a great tune. It is a fun tune to play.
Well, it's a lovely tune. And how do you learn tunes? Did you just do them by ear?
For the most part, yeah. I have a degree, and I taught music, and I had lots of classical training and stuff
you
in college.
You have a degree?
Yeah, I have a bachelor's degree in music education.
Wow.
Which was mostly choral music. At the time I went to college, that was... They expected you to go into the public schools and teach vocal music to children, which is what I did.
And did you think that was what you were going to do?
No. That was what my parents thought I was going to do, I think, although my mother was always very eager for me to have a career. But I was expected to go to college, and that was for sure. There was no question about that.
Was sort of college.
Well, yes. And I was lucky because when I went to college, it was right after the Korean War, and all the guys in my freshman music theory class were veterans on the GI Bill, and they had been in jazz bands. And so I got to work with a lot of people who had already been out there doing it when I was very young. And my weekend work was as valuable to me as my college work was when I was there. Because I played in little groups and for dances and played at the Elks Club and the Moose Club and played for weddings and all that, all with musicians that were older than I was. And I got a lot of on-the-job training.
So you were always working from a young girl on?
From 16, yes.
Gee.
Yeah, you know, somebody recently said to me, a lady in a club where I was working, she said, how long have you been playing the piano? And I said, quite honestly, I don't remember when I didn't play. And I bet you don't either.
No, I don't.
It's like we've always done this.
Well, I was probably about 3,
mm-hmm.
trying to play mm-hmm. things that my mother played.
Mm-hmm.
And it just evolved, and I found myself playing for kids at school mm-hmm. and just everywhere. That's all I ever did was play.
Mm-hmm.
Or learn tunes off the BBC.
Yeah.
And you did the same, right?
I did the same. My mother always had the radio on. We had a lot of recordings. And my parents were musical, and they liked to play for fun. And they both had really good ears. And my dad liked country music and Western swing, and my mother liked big bands and singers. So I got it from all directions.
Who are your favorites, would you say, when you were a kid growing up?
Oh, dear. Everybody. Well, my mother had a lot of Frankie Carl records and Jose Iturbe and Carmen Cavallaro. And, of course, I went to the movies a lot, too. So I imagined that if I had a career, I was going to be the girl in the big white dress at the white grand piano that comes up out of the floor with the dancers. Oh. That's what I thought being a pianist was about, but I did learn a lot of music from people like Frankie Carl and Jose Iturbe and those guys. And, you know, anybody that had a piano on their record, I kind of tried to do what they were doing. And it's still kind of fun. I still like to do that sometimes, just try to figure out how they're doing what they're doing.
I do, too.
Yeah.
How about another song? As much as I love hearing all this interesting.
Well, this song is, speaking of mentors, this song is a melody by Mike Longo, whom I've known since we were 18 at Western Kentucky University together. So I met him in college, and he's still my buddy. I'm going to have lunch or dinner with him the next time I see him. But he writes wonderful melodies, and then he kind of leaves them on the piano and forgets about them. And so I found this one when I was visiting him and his wife in their apartment, and I said, I just read through this melody, and it's wonderful. What are you going to do with it? And he said, oh, I don't know. I forgot all about it. So I said, let me take it home and write a lyric. So I did, and then I started playing it with my trio. It's called Try Again.
Wonderful. Thank you. That's a lovely tune.
Isn't that a lovely melody?
As well as I know him, I never thought he wrote like that.
Well, he has ideas just coming out all the time. And he doesn't, when I said to him, why haven't you ever done anything with this tune? He said, I forgot all about it. He probably dashed it off someday and then went and got coffee or something. He's just, his whole house is littered with these ideas lying around. And eventually he gets
That's
to them.
Amazing.
He is. He's a real genius in that way. And, of course, a wonderful bebop pianist as well, but he's a wonderful composer.
I never knew all that about him.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have more in a minute with my good friend B.G. Adair. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Some of your favorite composers?
Oh, dear. Well, of course, Ellington and Gershwin. And it would be hard to say who is the more famous of those two, but then when you talk about 20th century music, you have to include Thelonious Monk and people like Benny Golson. And there are just so many wonderful, wonderful writers out there. And, of course, songwriters. I guess my favorite songwriter is Harold Arlen. But, you know, there's so much wonderful stuff.
Oh, I think mine, too.
He just he wrote for the voice, and he was a jazz singer and pianist, and it really comes through his music, I think. But I love Thelonious, too, and the more I get into his music, the more complex it seems to me.
I used to go down to the Five Spot and hang out, and I think I learned a lot of his tunes that way.
Yeah.
And you probably did, too.
Well, I saw Monk once at the Village Vanguard, and it was a big, exciting day for me because he had the quartet on that I had the recordings of with Charlie Rouse. And he came by the table and spoke to all of us, just being friendly to whoever was sitting close to the piano. You know, he didn't know us, but he was very warm. And it was a wonderful afternoon.
That's amazing because he usually doesn't talk much.
I know.
He must have liked the look of you.
Well, my stepdaughter was with us, and she had draped her coat over the back of the chair, and it had fallen off. And he stopped and picked it up and put it back on her shoulders, and he said, "That's a beautiful coat. It doesn't belong on the floor." And then we all said hello to him, and he said hello to us.
My goodness. That's more conversation.
I know. I felt very honored, even to be around him anywhere. But seeing him, hearing him on stage and listening to his recordings is just, he's really an icon. He really is. I didn't get a chance to play for him, although I imagine he's listening to all of us from wherever he is right now. But I do quite a few of his. Of course, everybody does. Round Midnight. I recorded I Mean You on my first album up here. But I thought I would shake up things a little bit here and play In Walked Bud, the tune he wrote for Bud Powell.
Wonderful. Thank you. I love the way you played that. His playing is so sort of angular, and yours is almost symphonic in the way you played it.
Well, you know, I spent a lot of time when I was a kid playing by myself before I had rhythm sections around. And I had a bad habit of always trying to play everything in the orchestra. If I heard a record with a singer, for example, or a big band or something, I wanted to hear all of that stuff. And so I would put in the French horn part and the violin parts and stuff. So I tend to be a little over the top sometimes when I'm playing. Another first rhythm section that I had in college, the bass player kept saying, "Stay up in the middle register and keep your foot off the pedal. You're getting down in my territory." And I was trying to play the bass and everything. So, but speaking of bass players, I just had a thought. We have shared several bass players. You remember Jim Ferguson, my friend down home that has worked with you? And you had him on the show. And then I'm going to go back a long way now to the 60s. The little guy from Tennessee named Jack Gregg that worked with you for so long.
Oh, my God.
Well, he is in Paris now, and we email almost every day. And so he said to tell you hello.
Oh, how
he's
wonderful.
Doing well. He's doing very well, and he's been playing over there. He's been over there for 30 years.
And, my God, we played at a place called The Apartment.
The Apartment, that's where I first met you.
Yes.
You know, I think we should hear from you. Aren't you ready to play a solo for me?
Well,
maybe I should put you to work.
I don't mind a bit. Why don't I play something I wrote called Twilight World? How about that?
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Marion, that was lovely. I did remember that melody, but I didn't know the title, Twilight World. That's such a beautiful, beautiful tune.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to make a point to find that, because it sounds like something I'd like to play sometime.
Well, I'd love to send it to you.
Well, I will take you up on that.
Wonderful. Well, there's more coming up with B.G. Adair. You can find artist information, set lists, and more on our website, pianojazz.npr.org. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. I see you've got a tune coming up that I absolutely love, Daydream.
Mm-hmm.
Is that by Duke?
It is, and I didn't realize it. I learned it early on when I was in college from a June Christie record, and I've loved it for years, and then only recently did I discover, or somebody told me, that it was a Duke Ellington tune. And that made it even more interesting and wonderful to me, I think. He just, his melodies were so fabulous.
Well, I can't wait to hear you play it.
Well, here goes. Thank you.
beautiful.
Thank you. I love that tune. I love the way the bridge goes all over the place. Don't you love when you get into a tune like that? And I know because you have such a wonderful harmonic sense. When you get into those tunes where they just go all over the place, aren't they fun?
They are fun.
Figure out how to get in and out.
Especially if you get in and you don't know how to get out.
I think I probably did that on one of the courses there. I call it painting myself into a corner. And then you can't walk across the room because the floor is all painted musically.
Oh, that's funny. No, I do that a lot, I'm afraid. Get myself, I think I'll do something very clever. And then when I get into it, I find it wasn't clever at all because I wasn't able to get out of it.
I know, but it's, you know, you always learn something while you're in there. It's like, even if it's just that I'll never do this again, you know. But it's kind of fun. I love jazz music for that reason. I always say it's never the same song twice.
No.
You know, everything is different every time you play it.
That's what's so wonderful.
Yeah.
You don't have a sheet of music in front of you, and they say tempo rubato, and you have to stick to it.
Yeah.
We don't have to stick to anything.
That's true. I like that.
Yeah, I like that. Well, what's up next, my lady?
Well,
it's up to you.
I've finished Daydream, and I was thinking of doing the title track from my Cole Porter album, Dream Dancing. And this is a tune that I didn't know for many years. I thought I knew all of Cole Porter's music. And I ran across this in a catalog of his music and loved it. And then I got a Jimmy Rolls recording of it.
Oh, that would be good.
So that did it for me. So Dream Dancing became one of my favorite things.
Well, I'd love to hear that.
All right, here it is. Thank you.
Somehow that tune has that Cole Porterish,
doesn't it,
sound to it, or you must have a lot of those tunes.
Well, I love Cole Porter, and I love the way he writes. The second phrase is always different from the first phrase in the AABA sections. Mm-hmm. He'll always, the second time the phrase comes around, he'll change it up a bit, yeah, somehow. And I love that. It's different from everybody else. And I think it also has to do with the fact that he wrote his own lyrics so he could go wherever he wanted to with the melody.
Every tune he wrote had something quirky or different about it.
Yeah, it did. I think that was one of the reasons that Sinatra liked a lot of his things, because Sinatra had such great ears, and I think that music appealed to him because it's pretty complex, and it's hard to sing in some cases because it's very rangy.
Well, did you do a collection?
I did. The collection is called Dream Dancing, and we did all of the major stuff, I Get a Kick Out of You and You're the Top, and all those things that he's famous for. And we just had a ball doing that record.
That must have been a great record.
We did it the way we thought it should be done, and it sold very well, and I think it honored Cole Porter, so that was all I was worried about.
Absolutely. Well, we'll have more music in just a minute with B.G. Adair. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. How about another tune?
Well, this is Ralph Ranger Dorothy Parker tune from a 40s movie, which I came across in a book and remembered it from my childhood and started working it with my trio. It's called A Wished on the Moon.
I love that tune. Don't hear it often enough. Thank you. That was just lovely.
Thank you.
The tempo and the harmony.
I like that tune a lot.
Oh, that's a great tune. Well, this has been so much fun.
It's been wonderful for me. I'm so happy that I got the invitation to do this again. It's great to see you and great to play music with you.
Yes. I've loved every minute of it.
Same here.
So, I think I remember you saying that you like to close a show with "We'll Be Together Again." Is that true?
That is true, yes. The year I took off for college, the Four Freshmen had a recording of that.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, I always loved Frankie Lane. And when I found out that he and his piano player, Carl Fisher, had written that tune, I fell even more in love with it. And I've just always gravitated toward it as my favorite song. So within the past several years, since I've had a trio, the same trio for a long time, we've just started doing it as our sort of an encore tune for when we do concerts, or in a club, we'll just close the evening with that tune.
Well, we have to close the show, and it could be a nicer, nicer tune, and to wind up with this tune, which is one of my favorites.
Shall we?
Shall we?
That was fun.
It was fun.
Two ladies in the shade of the banana tree playing the piano.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland. Her guest today has been B.G. Adair. Join us each week at this time as Piano Jazz brings you other outstanding artists, for conversation and improvisation. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Duke Marcos, assistant recording engineer Tyler Hartman, mastering engineer David Mitchell, engineering intern Dale Anderson, production manager Grant Jackson. The executive producer is Elaine Freeman. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. To find out more about the artists and music selections heard on Piano Jazz, or to listen to a recent program, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. There you'll also find a link to our free weekly preview podcast, Piano Jazz Shorts. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, Artworks, and the Friends of Piano Jazz. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR. Contributors include the Joyce Foundation, working to improve the quality of life in the Great Lakes region. Learn more at joycefdn.org. And the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. This is NPR.